We are thrilled to have two people here with us that are going to combine to tell us a bit about the story of Jeremiah's Place, which is a part of Pittsburgh that I think is important for you to know about, not only in the event you ever need it, but so that you can let other people know about its services. And we'll do that in just a few moments. Jeremiah's Place provides free temporary child care to children 6 years and under on a 24/7 basis. We're going to start, though, Steve Bodner, a musician. And I was trying to describe Steve to somebody the other day, and I said, the thing about Steve, or his music, I won't try to describe Steve, but I said, the thing about Steve is I almost have never known him to do anything where there was not a nonprofit organization benefiting from it, and a very worthy one, and that Steve devotes a lot of his time not only to sharing his talent, but to making sure that there are other benefits as well. So we'll get to know Steve and his music this hour. He's got a ukulele out. We'll see what he's about to do with it. Here is Steve Bodner.
Thanks, Larry. Well, being this a ukulele, the first song is called The Ballad of Tiny Tim and Mr. Plym. And unfortunately, when you mention Tiny Tim, you get a lot of looks. You think it's bad to describe me? Try to describe Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim and Mr. Plym, Harley the captain and the kid, born in NYC by way of Des Moines. Flying coach and tenor jokes, up in smoke and news in hope, offers fade as dreams on the end of a phone. NBC and Miss Vicky, rowing and Martin tiptoeing through the 15-minute wedding bells. Endearing an oddity there, embracing naivety, Alice Barrett, Bowie, Disney. Ukulele shopping bag, bringing back for half the cash, caught between the footlights and the trash. Bad business can't hold him back, all he needs is one more chance, never want to sit out his comeback.
Steve Bodner, and Tiny Tim was kind of underrated, I think. He sort of knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, he was not, he was an astute business person, is I guess what
I agree with that. He stretched his 15 minutes into a lifetime.
And I think when he was married on The Tonight Show, I think that was one of the highest rated programs of all time. When he did that. And I don't know anything about Mr. Plym.
That was his last manager from Des Moines, Iowa.
Huh.
I read his book, and the problem was when he took him over, he was already way past the fame. He was pretty much playing like circuses, garden clubs. He actually died on stage at a garden club meeting in Minnesota playing Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Wow. Yeah. That's something. And he was, I think, fairly young when he died, if memory serves. This is Steve Bodner. Damaged Pies is the name of his band, which has been around for a long
time. Close to 30 years.
Time. Same guys?
Boy, we've had 30 different people in the band since it started. Now it's mostly the drummer, Mark Pinta, and his son, Mark, and then Billy Laspin and Mark's wife, Margie, still come back every once in a while, but mostly it's just me acoustic.
And you're the guy? All 30 years?
Yeah, I'm the only one left.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I'm a tyrant, pretty much is what it comes down to.
Or stubborn, one or the two.
Yeah, I need to just realize it, face reality and just stop already, but I can't now.
No, I wouldn't do that. But then again, look who's giving you that advice. same circus, different town is a film that Justin Rainier has made, and it profiles the band through a number of different incarnations, right?
Yeah, the film was, he had done this back in 2012 at our 25th anniversary. It was Damaged Pie Day in the city of Pittsburgh. And Justin did the reunion show at Club Cafe. And the film is that. Plus, it's also Heidi Jacobs, who I think when we did the movie originally, she actually did this show to promote it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also clips where I had a lot more hair and bigger mustaches and, things like that. But it's fun. It's fun. It's kind of cool to look back on some of this. It's music video. It's interviews. It's just a lot of different things. And Justin did a great job. I haven't talked to Justin since he finished the movie, so I'm taking that personally.
Huh. Well, even if you don't know Steve or the band, you're going to see some culture on display and some changes on display as you get to see just seeing stuff from the 70s can be a lot of fun. And Heidi Jacobs, you want to see Heidi Jacobs just to ask her to do her Katharine Hepburn impersonation.
It's in the movie, too.
Yeah, she does a dead-on Katharine Hepburn impersonation. Now, this is all going to be happening at the Hollywood Theater in Dormont. Yeah. It's not long from now. January 23rd is the date, which is a Saturday. And it's great. The SLB finishes, and then you can immediately go to the theater. It starts at noon,
end. And the whole day, hopefully we're going to have a live performance as well. The whole event is sponsored by Burns White, who once again was nice enough to give us the money to rent the theater. And so it's going to be a good day. We're going to have an art auction also, and I'm sure Luann can tell us a little about that. We're also going to have some movie posters that Francis Cletus did. He autographed them. We'll be auctioning those as well. And if I can figure out my iMac enough, we'll have some copies of the movie to take home with you, too.
Oh, great. And if not, you can just give away your iMac.
I'll just give away the blank discs that I couldn't figure it out with.
You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. We're going to talk with Luann Ross about Jeremiah's Place after another song from Steve. What would you like to do next?
Well, the next one is something called Magic Mountain's Monorail. I don't know if you know Ron Adams or not. Radio guy from Pittsburgh for years. He's running the Ligonier station now. And been friends with Ron for a while. He runs Monster Bash. And Ron was telling me once when he was at Disney way back in, I guess it was 74, he swears he saw John Lennon at Disney. And he's been telling people this for years and they think he was lying. And eventually he finds out that John's assistant, May Pang, in an interview said not only were they there, but at the time John signed the paperwork to dissolve the Beatles. And I thought, wow, what a cool story. So this song is about seeing John Lennon at Disney. And it's called Magic Mountain Monorail.
Footsteps to Tomorrowland. Magic Mountains Monorail. Here stands a walrus carousel. Lewis Carroll. Stories, they begin and end. Build the dream. It's a fancy now scripted spoken. What a sight for all to see. Mickey Mouse and Johnny B. It's good for some. The fab's now done. Look over there. George Harrison. Liverpool to Southern Sun. Albert Dock, Polynesian. Won't be long, too long delayed. Shining at the end of every day. Beatles, fairies, Robinson. Jungle Cruise, Oblivion. Of guilt, now let it be. Christmas time at Disney. What a sight for all to see. Mickey Mouse and Johnny B. It's good for some. Five's now done. Look over there. George Harrison. It's 1974.
That's Steve Bodner. Funny. Unrelated to what you're saying, but I think I saw this on Facebook. It's hard to remember where you see things, especially this time of the year. We were talking briefly off air about how the holidays can be a real blur. Somebody posted a photo taken just before the iconic Abbey Road photo. So you sort of saw the four Beatles getting ready, like mm-hmm. straightening their clothing and getting their hair, you know, put into place and everything. And it was really kind of neat to see that.
Cool.
And seeing John Lennon out of context like that is Ron Adams. Was like that would be pretty remarkable.
Well, the funny thing he said, too, is John looked and told everybody, look, over there, George Harrison. Huh. So people went that way and he went the other way.
Well, also here, and we're talking about a benefit for Jeremiah's Place coming up, and I want to turn to Luann Ross, who I've really been looking forward to talking with you. She's executive director of Jeremiah's Place. I know a little bit about Jeremiah's Place, but I really want to know more, and I want to be sure that people who are tuned in no more because who are tuned in learn more about Jeremiah's Place. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Such a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. Before we go any further, is there a Jeremiah?
There was a Jeremiah, yes. One of our founders, Dr. Lynn Williams, has parents who had taken in kids through the foster care system. And one of the children was very medically complicated. And I think the Williams family always sort of felt that had Jeremiah had a Jeremiah's Place, had the family had a Jeremiah's Place, the family probably would have remained unified. But I think that everyone that works on behalf of children, regardless of what you do on behalf of children, has a Jeremiah. Whether it's someone you knew or whether it's yourself, everyone has a Jeremiah that inspired them to do the work.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, Jeremiah's Place, in the most practical of senses, if you've got kids and have a care need that yes. is urgent and immediate, oftentimes you don't have many options,
right.
and you may have to struggle to to wait till Monday morning at 9 o'clock when you can talk with an agency or a care worker. And here is where you've really come up with a very special niche, right, to be able to provide this immediate and also trained people that can, that can help. So can you describe a little bit about what you do?
Right. So Jeremiah's Place is what we call a crisis nursery, which I don't know how well that describes what we do, but we're a 24/7 operation. We're in the Lincoln-Larmer section of Pittsburgh in the Kingsley Association building. And we are 24/7. Everyone there, all the staff, are highly trained, trauma-informed caregivers. So anytime you have a problem and you do not have, you have an emergency, a family emergency, a crisis, and you do not have safe and trusting care, you can bring your kids to Jeremiah's Place. Typically, people call us first, and but even if you have to absolutely drop by, you can do that as well.
And without getting too specific, I can think of a number of examples. If you yourself are a single parent, or even if you're not a single parent, if there's an adult that has a sudden medical issue, whether it be a heart attack or concern that he or she might be having a heart attack, you don't necessarily want to have very young children come to the hospital where they won't be cared for. So here's a possibility, especially if it's going to be longer term, for kids to have care.
Absolutely. And that's one of the many examples. We've been open for about a year and a half, and we've served 300 unique children. And what we find is the reasons are as varied as the 300 children, but there have been medical emergencies, psychiatric emergencies, very job. So we had a woman that came to us and she had a job interview and her child care canceled out at the last minute. It was a really important job interview and she didn't want to miss it. But she knew if she called and canceled, they wouldn't reschedule. And that's just, that's one example. We've had families, we had a mother that was in the Army Reserve and she had to do her reserve weekend and she had no one that she really truly trusted to watch her child. So the examples are as varied as the children.
And one of the things I thought was great was the abuse prevention angle. Can you mention that?
So, and that's really how we see ourselves. We see ourselves as a child abuse prevention model. Very often in times of crisis, when families are at high stress level, young children can experience abuse. So we really see ourselves as a way to get those kids out of that situation and allow the families just that minute they need to pull it together and get what they need done. Also, the other thing that happens is very often when you're in the middle of an emergency, again, your spouse or somebody you love is having a heart attack and the ambulance comes and you don't want to drag the children with you. What do? You leave them with a neighbor. And maybe that's just not the right choice to make. So Jeremiah's Place is here as a child abuse prevention model in addition to crisis nursery.
Well, and your staff is going to know how to interact with kids, and using that as an example again, they have training in helping kids cope with that particular emergency, if it's a potential loss of a parent or illness of a parent. Certainly a neighbor may be capable of handling that, but here you know that the trained staff at Jeremiah's Place will be able to do that in a proper way. And when you talk about preventive, being a preventive organization, not only doing what you can to be sure children don't experience abuse, but if children experience trauma without some professionals helping them at the same time, the imprint that that leaves permanently until addressed later in life, or the impact that it has on a child's own behavior, it has got to be really significant.
That's right. And we've learned that when kids experience trauma, like all of us, their cortisol levels shoot up. Unfortunately for young children, they're still in the process of brain development. And if their cortisol levels shoot up and stay up, then there is actually a change in the brain architecture. So, I know I have a beautiful granddaughter, and when she falls and scrapes her knee, her cortisol level shoots up, but there's a million people around that comfort her, and everything comes back to place. And unfortunately, what we're finding is, you know, it most impacts is like that flight or fight response. And so when we see kids that are 16 or 17 or 18 or 19 or 20 making bad decisions, very often if we had an opportunity to look, we would find that there's some architectural change in the brain development.
How large is your staff?
We have 16 staff. We're open 24 hours a day. We always have a minimum of 2 people per shift on duty, not counting. We have a robust group of volunteers and some other people that are on call in the event that we would get a large number of children at any one time.
And can you give me a sense of, do you have a capacity for service? Is it the number of children simultaneously? It's probably hard to
describe. Well, it's really hard, yes, because everything changes and we're inconsistent, you know. So one minute you have one child and the next minute you have 6 children, and that can happen literally very quickly. We were laughing just a couple of weeks ago. We had 3 sets of 2-year-old twins. They were not related to each other, these 3 sets. We could have, I would have been $1 million. That would have never happened. But sometimes you have a whole facility full of infants, and other times you have all 5-year-olds, and it changes minute by minute. We can take up to 12 children overnight. That's a state licensure regulation. And we could probably take up to 15 or 20 kids in the day. But again, it really depends on the age of the children and the trauma. We try to consider that. There are times that kids need about as close to one-to-one care as we could begin to provide, just because of what they're experiencing.
Yeah, and I think it's I think about it with studio tours that we do. We're asked how many can we accommodate at the same time. And it really depends. It depends on what level of service or learning the kids want to do. It also depends on how broad the age range is and other things. And you have those same factors. The good thing is that as a potential client or user of the services at Jeremiah's Place, you don't need to think about that. They'll think about
for
you.
That's right. We'll worry about that.
And the key thing, I'm sure they have places to which they can refer you if there is no room at that particular time. But I have a feeling they'll always find a place wherever possible. Do you find, too, that do most of your referrals, or I should say, most of is client the right word, or client seems a little clinical.
Family.
That's better. Rather than defining somebody by a noun like that. Do most families come to you directly, or are some referred by social workers that say, why don't you consider Jeremiah's Place?
It's really been a mix. The very first person that ever came to see us had found us on Facebook.
Wow.
So I would have never expected that. We have talked with every social service agency in the region, all the hospitals, all the social workers, and lots of people hear about us through friends. And we go to community events, as many places as we can go to get the word out, but I'd say it's probably evenly distributed.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Jeremiah's Place. And the reason we're talking about Jeremiah's Place in this, our live music hour, is because there is a benefit featuring Damaged Pies and a film called Same Circus, Different Town. Steve Bodner, a member of the Damaged Pies, is here. This benefit is happening on January 23rd at the Hollywood Theater in Dormont at 12 noon. And Steve, you want to play another song?
Yeah, this one is actually working on a children's album. And it's not court mandated either, which is good. and this is one of the songs from it. It is called Sharing a Seesaw with Susan Shaw.
Susan is in my class. Susan, she has black hair. Susan is my true love. Sometimes she shares my lunch, though her family's not like mine, it hasn't stopped me much. Still just a girl, it's hard to speak to girls that you love so much. I think she knows my name. and she knows my name. I ask her to play with me, to share a seesaw at lunch. Sharing a seesaw with Susan Shaw, it's all that I'd ever want. Knowing that she's outside with me, it's all that I'd ever want. The other kids, they laugh. They say that she's not like us. They say that she's not the same. But Susan's the one that I love. Though her family's not like mine, it hasn't stopped me much. Still just a girl, it's hard to speak to girls that you love so much.
That's Steve Bodner at the Saturday Light Brigade. I like the song. It made me think of Shel Silverstein immediately, hearing all those S's going together.
It's going to go for Z's, but it was real hard to fit Zelda in anyway.
Zelda, Zithers, and...
sharing a zither with Zelda. Yeah,
yes, and Zoe. Zoe and Zelda. See, we'll get it. Zoe and Zelda. Share
anyone have a pen?
A zither. Yes. We'll get to do a little bit more. We'll think about that. That's Steve Bodner and Lou Ann Ross is also here. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade New Year's weekend here. And do you employ volunteers at all in your work? I'm sure I'm asking because there might be some people listening who would like to do it, but I think with the clearances and such, it might be a difficult volunteer experience, difficult to accommodate volunteers.
Well, we have lots of volunteers, and they do lots of different things. That's actually how we met Stephen, unfortunately for him, I guess.
Yeah,
we were having we have a 5K every year, and Stephen had a friend who dragged him to the 5K, and the next thing you know, at 6 in the morning, he and I are driving around Riverview Park putting signs up in the rain.
Oh, okay.
So there's all different ways to volunteer for Jeremiah's Place. Yes, of course, if you work with the children, you have to have the clearances, and we are very rigorous about that. We fully expect people to get clearances. We want letters of recommendation because our kids, all kids deserve to be protected, but we feel like with our kids in crisis, it's critically important that we're even more sure about anybody that comes in and works with them. But other people who don't want to take the time to get clearances have worked with us in a variety of ways. Like Stephen, you can volunteer at one of our fundraising events. People host fundraising events, friendraisers. People come in, somebody over the holidays, people have done food drives and gift card drives to help us. People have come and helped us clean out our storage space. There's always different ways to help volunteer with Jeremiah's Place.
Now, a question I want to ask you, and I want to do my best to express this properly, is there are a number of shelters and safe places that exist to accommodate a mom or dad and their children who are in a spousal abuse situation. And my sense is that Jeremiah's Place is not necessarily intended to serve in that role. I think you're looking more at certainly children are facing traumas in those situations too. But I think here it's sort of a different definition. Am I right about that?
We've worked in partnership with the shelters. And very often what might happen is, you know, mom experiences domestic violence and she's going to work the next day. She's gone off to the shelter, but she doesn't want to leave the children in the child care facility they typically utilize. And she needs a couple of days to get something else set up. We had a father recently that was escaping domestic violence, and it was the very same situation. The children had not been in daycare, and he had to continue to go to work. And mom was just not in any condition to care for them for a variety of reasons. So they came and stayed with us while he got child care together.
So Jeremiah's Place can be part of a comprehensive solution.
Absolutely.
To try to provide that kind of support. And I would imagine that, for example, if it were a spousal abuse situation without children involved, there are many other organizations
yes.
that are probably equipped to you know do that specifically, because there's some issues, especially regarding location and security in cases like that. But it's good to know that you're woven in to the fabric of this. Do you have a sense of whether other cities have crisis child care such as Jeremiah's Place?
Yes, there are actually 60 crisis nurseries around the nation. There's no affiliation. We're not sort of one big giant family.
Yeah.
But there are 60, and many of them have been around as long as 30 or 40 years. We're actually the new kid on the block.
Wow. That's something. This is Lou Ann Ross, who is their executive director. May I ask what you did before you found? Did you found? Oh, no, you took over for the founders, right?
I'm the founding executive director.
Okay.
So the founders had been working on it for a couple of years. And I have been in executive leadership in the nonprofit world for about the past 15 years. I had worked in healthcare advocacy, community development, and then I really had a minute to sort of think about what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I still don't know what that is, but I did know that I wanted to work on behalf of children at risk. And so in order to kind of immerse myself in that, I quit everything and I joined Teach for America, and I left, and I always say I think I was the oldest person there. I was the only person that wasn't 24 and from Harvard. But I went to rural North Carolina for 2 years, and when I came back, I had heard a friend of mine sent me some information about this really great organization that was opening. And so I joined with the founders and went through construction and hiring and getting licensure. And we opened up in April of 2014.
That's an incredible success story. Have you been fortunate to have some foundation support?
The foundations have been remarkable. The one thing you don't appreciate if you are from Pittsburgh is just how really generous the philanthropic community here is. So from the very beginning, even before we opened our doors, we had support from the Richard King Mellon Foundation, the Hillman Foundation, the Heinz Endowment, the Grable Foundation, and we have and the individual community members that have just come out in support of what we do. I think our mission really speaks to people.
Yeah, I think it does too. And we're going to have another song from Steve in a second. Before I forget, how can people find you online?
www.jeremiahsplace.org.
Easy enough.
Easy
jeremiahsplace.org. Or go to Facebook and just search on Jeremiah's Place.
Yep. You can Twitter. We're all over the place.
Yeah. And it's good to be on social media. You mentioned people are finding you
mm-hmm.
that way. And a lot of young parents or teens that are in need. Have you found a case where kids have come to you directly? For example, a runaway child or just kids that are aware of you and have come to you directly?
Well, we have gotten calls, but we serve children ages 0 to 6. But we do have a social worker that is on staff pretty much a good part of the time. And her job is not only to meet the families and make sure that we provide them everything we need, but she's also a great referral source for people that call us. And if we're not the right fit, she's a great referral source in getting them to where they need to be.
That's good to know. And incidentally, our audience covers a pretty wide geographic range, and we're talking about Jeremiah's Place, a facility in the Lincoln Larmer section of Pittsburgh, near East Liberty. And if you are curious, if you're listening in outlying counties, maybe you're thinking you would like to start a service like this where you live. I'm going to put Lou Ann on the spot and say I think she would probably welcome hearing from you, and she could give you some tips as to how to do it and get started.
We would love to talk to anyone about it. Also know that we have served people from 56 different zip codes. People have come to us from different counties. If they can get there, we're more than willing to help.
Very good to know. Steve Bodner is here of the Damaged Pause. And the benefit, Same Circus, Different Town, is the name of the film, On the Road with the Damaged Pause. And Justin Rainier is the filmmaker, and Heidi Jacobs and Steve will be on hand along with the film on January 23rd at noon at the Hollywood Theater in Dormont. Proceeds will benefit Jeremiah's Place. It's sponsored by Burns White. And Steve, we probably are going to have time for one or two more.
Okay.
So what would you like to do next?
I'm going to do the only Damaged Pause song that all 30 people have actually played on at one time or another.
Ah.
So there's your trivia question for the morning, if anyone ever asks that.
So this is the hit. This is the important one that everybody needs to know.
This is our Free Bird, our Stairway to Heaven, our Everybody Wang Chung tonight. And it's called Same Circus, Different Town.
You want, I'm still here now. A man has to leave to be a memory. It's the same circus, different town. Have to forget my name to bury me. Too young, too broken memories. Both of us, now we were way too gone to see. Looking in the mirror, lines across our eyes. Nobody really knows but me. Well, on my way, not looking back. Now I was left just to drown out on my own again. Listen to yourself, you'll hear that song. Can't you see that I'm where we've always been? Too young, too broken memories. Both of us, now we were way too gone to see. Looking in the mirror, lines across our eyes. Nobody really knows but me. Maybe it's sad, but maybe it's not. She took what I gave, and then I've learned a lot. Learned to take chances and follow my heart. I've learned not to let rejection tear me apart. I've searched for ages, it seems, for something that's living deep inside of me. No more to give my trust to another. My soul is my own, there is no other. A drink in my hand and a friend standing by, looks on with concern, and then there's hope in her eyes. Arms reaching out to break my fall, when I notice I'm standing with no help at all. And I've searched for ages, it seems, something that's living deep inside of me. No more to give my trust to another. My soul is my own, there is no other. The show is over, all the curtains are drawn. There's was another night without a crowd. There's another sleeping beneath the stars. It's the same circus, just a different town. There's another dream. There's another drink. There's another night to sit and think. There's empty highways. There's endless days. And all the lights fade away.
Steve Bodner. Is that, those are your lyrics?
Yeah.
It's a nice song.
Thank you.
From Damaged Pies, and they are celebrating, what, just over 30?
Yeah, pretty close
years,
to 30.
Close to 30. And that song is the song from which the title of the movie, Same Circus, Different Town. And On the Road with the Damaged Pies is the subtitle. And you can see this film, and I've seen bits of it, and there's a lot of artifacts from the era. So
yeah.
It's kind of fun, even if you don't know the group. It's going to be screened in the beautiful Hollywood Theater.
It really is a cool theater. They redid the whole place.
Yeah, it's nice. It's on Potomac, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Potomac and Dormont. Proceeds benefit Jeremiah's place. How did you connect with Jeremiah's? How did you happen to find them as an organization?
Fran Dunning and Jill Georgic, who work for FedEx. They do all my benefits with Why Hunger, the food bank, Farm Aid. And I kind of felt, okay, get involved with something Fran's involved with. So when she mentioned this, it was the race at the park over in Riverview Park.
The JP5K.
Yeah.
What race again?
It was the JP5K.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a really cool event. The weather wasn't great.
No.
But it made driving around in the rain and the mud was like something out of Apocalypse Now. We were putting signs up through the park to point for how to get to the finish line. But it was a lot of fun. And then heard a little more about what you did and thought, wow, this is really great. So, yeah, one thing led to another, and here we are.
Oh, that's terrific. And, Luann, I want to thank you for being here today and for letting being so generous and describing the organization. Are there some things that I didn't ask you or that you didn't get a chance to say that you'd like to add regarding Jeremiah's Place?
No, I think that you did a great job, and we're really excited about being here today, and we're so appreciative to you and to Stephen for everything.
Yeah, I would love to keep in touch about ways we can support what you're doing. And again, it's Jeremiah's Place. .org. It's, you know, 60-some crisis child care centers in the country, and we finally have one in Pittsburgh. And you can learn more about them again at jeremiahsplace.org. Steve, we probably have about 3 minutes of radio time or so, and I'm going to leave it up to you as to, do you think you can sneak one in?
Yeah, just do what they do everywhere I play. If I just start running over, you've had enough. Just
give you the hook.
We don't have a cane.
We'll have to work on getting a hook here. But thank you for being
here.
Thanks
for having us, as always. Appreciate it.
Every morning she makes coffee, though she never drinks a cup. Makes her feel as if he's here, and he'll be right down. Amber lights through windows shine on his favorite quilt. Frost somehow it still is gone. Every corner, bricks and mortar, his presence here still felt. It's in the sound of telephones and feet upon the stairs. And it's been so long, but not at all. Memories remain throughout it all, from spring their last waltz.